So that's, yeah, that's okay. What I'm doing. And I guess I started by asking people, you know, what do you remember about the gardens when you were there?
Let's see, what can I tell you? I was actually the president of the committee, I guess, for a little while.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
Because nobody else wanted to do it, basically. it was kind of an interesting kind of a common meeting place, for one thing. The utility sort of varied from person to person. We actually lived over in Harvey Street, so it didn't have like the convenience factor that it did for the folks who lived right up on the Eagle Heights area that were closer to it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I can tell you.
Well,
I think a lot of the foreign students liked the chance to be able to read some of their own stuff from the native culture things. Was a big part of it for us. It was just kind of nice to have the diversion as well as to be able to read some of your own things. I mean, everybody was kind of on tight budgets and stuff most of the time.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, you know, the pluses about it. They offered a variety of different style things, and you had the sections for more or less conventional things, and as well as sections that were reserved for people who wanted to do mostly organic stuff.
Okay. Well, when did you live at Harvey Street, and then how long did you garden at Eagle Heights? If you lived at Harvey Street, how did you find out about the gardens in the first place?
Well, they had a little newsletter that came around.
Okay.
That would advertise stuff.
And then when were you there? When were you a student at UW?
Okay, let's see. We were there for about 1983 to 1988.
Okay. You were getting your PhD, or your wife was?
I started in the PhD program, and that didn't work out, so I actually switched to a master's program in water resources.
Oh, okay.
My wife is doing her PhD in English.
Nice. Very interdisciplinary team. Science and English. One of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you, and I found this in some of the old garden committee meeting minutes, was it sounded, you wrote a note or you had notes about the gardens, maybe they shouldn't try to get people who weren't residents of Eagle Heights or Harvey Street to be gardeners anymore?
There was kind of a conflict.
Yeah.
When we didn't fill up the available spaces with Harvey Street and Eagle Heights residents, we thought, you know, at least from a financial standpoint, we charged a little bit to do it. I don't know, it's a fairly minimal fee, but it still was added to the, you know, the fund for maintenance of the area, as well as trying to build up a little fund that they're working on to maintain the irrigation system they had out there. We said, well, why don't we, you know, open it up to other university people who wanted to do, you know, do gardening.
Yeah.
But it was actually owned by, the building and grounds, I think maybe some of the ag school people were actually avidly opposed to that.
The ag school was...
If you're not using the spots, you want to use it to grow alfalfa for the animals.
Okay.
Sort of their thing. I don't think they ever actually did. But they said they wanted to have that option, if it didn't get used, to be able to use it to raise feed stuff for, you know, the ag school animals. So they kind of got on their case about, you know, expanding it beyond Eagle Heights. So that never actually happened. I mean, it doesn't make good sense, because we never have ever filled the available slots out there.
You never did?
Almost. I mean, not while I was there. No. It was, you know, maybe 2/3 or something like that. Spots were taken each year. There was never any shortage when it was limited to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So did people have multiple plots then because they were extra?
Oftentimes, yeah. Yeah. Most people got more than one.
Mm-hmm.
I typically had plot got two. But even so, it didn't usually fill up
mm-hmm.
the available spaces, and a certain number of them just kind of were left to kind of be fallow and get overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would mow them every once in a while. That would be about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So were you paying, so the College of Agriculture owned the land? Were you paying rent to them, or were you just paying them to plow every year?
Basically just paid them to plow.
Okay.
It's my recollection of
yeah.
it. I don't think we really paid a rent for it beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We did pay a fee for them to come out and basically plow the area mm-hmm. in the spring each year.
Uh-huh.
Sort of initial preparation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
A team of volunteers together to go out with a bunch of pre-marked strings and lay out all the plots.
Yeah.
People were just going to sign up and get assigned. You know, if they had one that they'd used, some people would try to assign people to ones, if they had one that they'd been used for a few years, try and keep them the same one.
Mm-hmm.
But some folks could use it for several years while they were in graduate school there.
Yeah. Yeah. So as the committee, what were your main tasks, and why didn't anybody want to step into the role of president?
Well, I think it's partly just everybody was, as a grad student, you're usually pretty busy.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Trying to have enough time to be able to volunteer to something like that was not something everybody had time or thought was a big priority for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's just mostly the time demands.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of effort to run the gardens, especially the sign-ups and setups. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Had you gardened before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't done a lot, but mm-hmm. Our family always had small gardens most of the time growing up and that kind of thing.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, you'd gardened before. Did you keep gardening?
Whenever there was space available.
Yeah. Ever in another community garden?
I've never done any other community gardens, not since we leave the Needle Heights, no.
Yeah, yeah.
But once we got through that and actually started got to the point of having our own home and so on, we made allowance for garden space.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good release, as well as nice to have the be able to choose better what kind of things you have available to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can sort of expand your horizons beyond the sort of basic varieties of that are available in the Hannaford store.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, do you live in Maine then?
No, I live in New Hampshire.
You live in New Hampshire. Okay, but yeah. Are Hannaford's in New Hampshire now too?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm from Maine, so
okay.
People don't. Hannaford's a Maine brand, so.
Yeah. Formerly Shop and City. I'm not sure how widely distributed they are, but there's certainly a lot around here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're probably just Maine and New Hampshire right now. I think those are probably the only two places that I've encountered them. So what did you, if you say it's to expand, gardening is to expand horizons past the regular old varieties, what kinds did you grow, and were you growing slightly unusual kinds when you were living at Eagle Heights? What were you growing?
The thing we always had to have once we discovered them was what was called Brandywine tomatoes.
Mmm. Yeah.
Have you ever had those?
I have.
Yeah.
They're good.
And they're kind of lumpy looking, so they don't tend to make it into the high appeal vegetable shelf.
Yeah.
On the grocery store, but we could get seeds going in the window of the apartment and plant them out there, and that was about the only way to get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, other than that, we probably didn't, you know, we didn't do a whole lot of really unusual stuff. I mean, you could walk around there and find all kinds of, you know, oriental vegetables and stuff like that gone because of the population. But we didn't ourselves tend to grow a lot of exotic stuff. But it's just still the freshness of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being able to manage your own farmer's market.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think. You know, we typically grow, try and do some spinach and Swiss chard and some of that kind of stuff. Beans are always a good yielder. And what else did we grow? Usually potatoes. Few varieties of squash, although you kind of had to be limited there because you didn't have. You know, stuff that really took a long time to mature, you couldn't do. Or that took, you know, huge quantities of space. For example, it didn't work really well to have pumpkins that would run, you know, huge vines all over the place because they'd be impinging on your neighbor's plot. Pretty easily.
Yep. So why couldn't you plant things that took a long time to mature?
Because they'd be trying to close up the gardens before.
Oh,
some of that stuff would mature.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that matured late in the, well into the fall.
Yeah.
And not be as usable.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One big difference with the gardens today is that they're perennial plots, so they aren't plowed every year. And so people can overwinter crops and grow garlic and grow perennial plants and grow the long.
What you were doing that, we had started a few sort of perennial plantings.
Oh, you had?
That were just sort of designed for, you know, whoever happened to wander by. We had started a place area for some raspberries and what else we got going out there. You get a bit of rhubarb.
Yeah.
It was kind of in common areas. So just sort of, you know, if you happen to be there, find some ripe ones, more power to you. That sort of thing.
Could you describe where those common areas were? I think that the raspberries that you planted are still around if they were in the far, let's say, southwest corner.
I'm trying to think of my orientation. Well, I remember we planted some of it not too far from where the main entrance was.
Yeah.
Which I think was.
Yeah, that's
my orientation sense is right. It was kind of
that's where the southwest corner is near where the main entrance is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably where they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the other community members, he'd been making a little bit of money doing some yard work and stuff for one of the town residents, and we went over to their house, and this guy had raspberry plantings. And he just basically dug up some of the offshoots that were kind of running amok into the lawn and transplanted 20 or so plants over into Eagle Heights.
Neat. We're still benefiting. Awesome. Very neat. I asked this in there are varied answers, but what was the most difficult thing about gardening at Eagle Heights? Were there difficult parts to it?
Not too much, just sort of getting over there. The transporting stuff all the time was a problem.
Yeah.
Management things, one of the things you kind of had to, you know, kind of keep an eye on is a lot of people would tend to, pull all the weeds and throw them into sort of the median areas between plots, which made it impossible to mow.
Yeah.
Because it'd be these heaps of weeds, and you always had to get on people's cases about, you know, not throwing your weeds into the median. I'd try and get them to either haul them to the mulch heap or to just, pull them and let them lie as sort of a compost in their own garden.
Yeah.
That was sort of one of the issues always. Other than that, I'm trying to think of any particular things. Don't remember there being sort of conflicts between.
Yeah.
Much. Yeah.
That's good.
Not really.
No. That's good. I don't think that. I haven't found that many people do remember conflicts between anybody. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, is there? Do you have any questions for me about what the gardens are like today?
It felt like it changed some in terms of being more assigned to people on a more longer-term basis.
Yep.
How do they handle? I mean, they must have to claw them up every now and again.
No, I don't. No, they don't.
Don't they bother to do that anymore?
No, they don't. They don't bother with plowing at all. Yeah, so there are things become very, there are big, lots of structures that people build, and raspberries and rhubarb and asparagus. I think that's probably the biggest change. It's also part of, there also are a lot of community members who aren't Eagle Heights residents that are part of the gardens.
So they have that to expand it to allow the more of the community. Do they allow the folks who are not actually in the graduate housing to be?
Yeah.
Okay, so they've expanded that idea. They still give priority to graduate students.
They do. Yep. They do still give priority to graduate students. So, I think they have a. It's Eagle Heights and Harvey Street residents get first priority, then other UW students and faculty staff, and then people not just wider community members. So there are even...
That sounds like a good way to... It sounds like the ag school people kind of give up and try to plant alfalfa out there.
Yeah. Yeah. They have, actually. The surrounding area is now, it's now a part of something called the Lakeshore Nature Preserve, which used to be the campus natural areas. I don't know if you ever walked, the bike path and Picnic Point and the Frouchy Woods and Second Point, all those woods used to be called the campus natural areas, and they've now been consolidated or reformed as the Lakeshore Nature Preserve, and the gardens are officially a part of that. So rather than agricultural fields surrounding the gardens, there are prairie restorations going on, which are halfway successful.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it probably looks quite different than when you were gardening there. It's changed. So the people the gardeners have to interact with on the university level have changed a lot. And I think the big issues for the gardens, so it's also because it's become part of the Lakeshore Nature Preserve, which is actually officially part of the college, we have a part-time staff person who does the assignments for plots, and the garden committee works with something called the Garden Oversight Committee, which serves as a liaison between the university and the gardeners, even though the garden committee still makes the decisions. Yeah.
So they have a little bit more permanent.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's actually, and I'm real honest to go to the staff person that does it, huh? There was never anything like that when we were there.
Yeah.
It's purely a volunteer effort among graduate students, really, to run the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which I think it helps things run more smoothly.
Sure, it'll probably provide a little bit better continuity.
Yeah.
Stuff from 1 year to the next and so on.
Yeah, I think it does. And I think that's also why it's nice to have the community members as part of the gardens, because a lot of the graduate students don't come to garden committee meetings and don't participate in the the running of the gardens necessarily. So it's nice to have those members who have been in the gardens for a while help keep them going. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's always, you know, it wasn't a huge group, but we could manage to get, a dozen or so people that were willing to at least participate and stuff, and, you know, be able to, you know, come help do the opening up and stuff at the beginning of the year and get things laid out initially and work on the assignments and so on. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So people were happy to help get it going. That's good. That's good. And then the gardens are really trying to actively manage the weed problems that occur in the gardens. So there are weed juries, or people, fellow gardeners are assigned to walk the gardens every so often and find plots that look as though they've been abandoned or aren't being used very well or aren't being taken care of, and then they're either reassigned or asked for. You know, we try to give the gardeners help in taking care of their plots, but also if they're no longer interested in gardening, then we try to reassign it to people who are waiting for a garden plot or something like that. So, which sounds like that wasn't a problem when you were gardening, because there were extra plots even no matter what, you know?
Yeah.
So now there's usually a waiting list, and so it's nice to...
Just have a little bit more interest going.
Exactly. Well, it doesn't sound like people were disinterested when you were gardening there. But just not as...
But just, you know, again, not enough. When it was limited to the graduate students. It wasn't enough interest among that group alone that they completely filled the available spots on any given year. You need to kind of get your application in early if... you want to be sure to get your specific one, but other than that, no, it wasn't so critical. You can always be sure to getting someplace.
Yeah. Where was your? Did you have the same plot every year? And where was it located? Was it on the hill or down below?
I purposely picked one relatively close to the entrance.
Just
for ease of access, mostly. Didn't have to walk so far to get there. It was kind of down in the lower place, down the southwest part there.
Yeah. Good spot. One more thing that I just thought of when talking about location of plots was that the applications that you sent out in the late 80s were also marked off. Where the steeper hillsides were and things like that, was erosion a problem? Is that why you started marking the steep hillsides, or just so people knew what kind of land they'd be getting?
No, really. I mean, I don't remember there being much in the way of areas that were really that steep. And things were laid out more or less. I mean, the strips that were then subdivided into plots. All pretty much laid out on the contour.
Basically,
the open exposed area, if you will, was limited to, you know, the length of one plot. Which wasn't really enough to get a lot of water flow across and create a big erosion problem, as I recall.
I was just curious because for a long time they didn't indicate anything about the topography of the land, and then all of a sudden it started showing up, and who knows, just to be more transparent about the land looked like.
More up on the hill where we had the organic sections. You know, where people who specifically wanted to avoid any artificial fertilizers and pesticide use.
That's good. sense. They are all organic now. All of the plots are. Yeah.
Yeah. At that time, they were not. I mean, people could use herbicides, pesticides, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We usually would, in a little monthly newsletter and stuff, we try to publish some ideas on how to keep that to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But except in the organic section, did not specifically prohibit it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think, is there anything you thought I might ask you about that I didn't ask you about?
Not that I can think of right off.
Okay.
There are other particular things that were of interest to your research other than just sort of general, getting a sense of the history of it.
Getting a sense of the history of it, any stories that you have about the place, but I think that you've, Yeah, you told me a few little ones. Do you have, and did you take any pictures when you were out at the gardens?
I have to go back and see.
Okay. If you have a chance and you feel like digging through some old photos, I would love to see what they look like.
Maybe some. I'm not sure. I wouldn't do as much photography then as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you took any of that.
Yeah, well, if you get a chance,
I'd love... That's the pre-digital age.
I know, it makes a big difference in the number of shots you take, huh?
Right, exactly.
Yep, definitely does for me. Oh, well, Steve, thank you so much for talking with me for a little bit this morning.
You're quite welcome. Glad we finally got connected on that.
Yeah, me too. And I have your email, and I will let you know when I've offered to share what I write with everybody, which should be by the end of the summer. So I'll send along a note saying.
Up before too long, are you?
Yeah, well, I'm beginning the writing process right now, and I should be done by the end of the summer. Yeah, so then I'll be moving on. I don't really know what I'm going to do. I'm just getting a master's right now. Probably move back to Maine or Massachusetts, actually. But
whereabouts in Maine are you?
I'm from Orono, but I lived a while in Portland. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah. Yep. I was up. In Bangor.
Oh, did you live in Bangor?
Well, I was, I did a career shift.
Oh.
And was in the medical residency program at EMMC.
Oh, okay.
I was up at Bangor.
Uh-huh.
Until I finished up there close to 2 years ago now.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice. Yeah, I know.
Another area.
Yeah.
Now I'm down in New Hampshire, so.
Nice. Yeah, I like the... I mean, it's a long way. When I was growing up there, I didn't realize how far away it was from a lot of things, but it's really beautiful. I love northern Maine and that part of the state, so it's good. Okay, well, I'll let you get on with your Saturday. I'm sure you're busy. and I will be in touch.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.